Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're going to give you an outlook on the economy for 2010 and what a hot topic this has become for us as we have sat here over the last 2 years and watched the entire economic landscape of this country change dramatically. By the way, I'd like to ask you a question. What is your outlook on the economy for 2010? Are you pessimistic, optimistic, realistic, running for cover? What are you thinking? I'd love to hear. Send me your thoughts on the economy for 2010 at chuckbentley@crown.org. Let me give you some statistics that are concerning me. From my chair, December was the worst month for job loss since the Great Recession began. 661,000 jobs were lost in December of 2009. And that's not all the bad news. Realty Track says that defaults and repossessions on homes was running over 300,000 a month at some point in 2009. 1 million families lost their homes in the fourth quarter, and Moody'sEconomy.com expects 2.4 million additional homes to be foreclosed upon in 2010. That is a tough economic outlook, and it's really hitting Main Street hard. Now, the question is, why does there seem to be a great recovery going on Wall Street? How could this negative news about joblessness and this negative news about foreclosure be so abysmal, and yet there be such optimism on Wall Street? Well, I don't understand it completely, but we do want to give you some perspective about that. And so today I've invited an expert on the economy, Rusty Leonard, to come and join us. We're going to talk about how to make wise financial decisions in light of the direction that this country is headed and the bigger picture. And I say Rusty's an expert on the economy because he's an expert investor. And he has to make decisions on where he's going to actually make investment choices. And that gives him a very realistic look at what's going on in the economy and what we need to learn in order to be wise with the decisions that we're faced with. Now, personally, I'm concerned of this disparity between the recovery on Wall Street and what I see continuing to happen on Main Street. And so I'm inviting Rusty in for our January update and his outlook on 2010. I think you're going to enjoy this program. We're going to have a great dialogue with Rusty Leonard, founder and CEO of Stewardship Partners. I hope you'll stay tuned today. And don't forget to let me know your personal outlook on the economy by writing me at chuckbentley@crown.org. You're listening to Money Life. I'll be right back.
Want to learn how to make and manage money God's way, but you don't have time to read a book or participate in a Bible study? Then check out The Journey to True Financial Freedom, a live seminar presented by Crown Financial Ministries. It's fast-paced and life-changing. Invest just one day of your time in a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, and you can learn God's financial principles and practical ways to apply them for a lifetime. A trained instructor will teach you how to set priorities, develop a spending plan, eliminate debt, and more. You'll gain a deeper understanding of stewardship and faithfulness. If you're interested in attending a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, go to crown.org to find one in your area, or call 1-800-722-1976 and ask one of our friendly consultants to locate one for you. That's 800-722-1976 or online at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Rusty Leonard, CEO of Stewardship Partners. Rusty, good to have you back this year.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, today we're going to talk about an update on the economy and some predictions and your outlook for 2010. How do you feel about the new year so far, Rusty?
Well, so far, from a financial markets perspective, we can't complain. The market's up so far this year, but it's still early. There's a lot of interesting developments that will surely move the markets one way or the other or both in the year to come.
Well, I want to talk about some of those interesting developments because I think they're very concerning. You know, you and I tend to have this little tug of war. You're eternally optimistic, and I'm trying to balance that a little bit without being a pessimist. But Rusty, the legislators over the end of the calendar year passed health care reform through the Senate. And my understanding is that the bill that was passed does not look anything like the House version that was passed, and that they're going to now try to reconcile these two bills. But my perspective is that health care is a sixth of the gross domestic product in this economy. It's huge, huge expenditure. And it seems like we just can't afford it, even if they get these two bills reconciled. Do you think they're going to be successful?
Sadly, I think they will be successful. It's an ideological issue for the Democratic Party. They have to get this through. They will basically do anything. And one of the reasons they need to get it through is that they have 60 senators right now. And if they can get this thing through, even in a stripped-down, ugly form, they'll be able to play with it and adjust it in the years to come. Because it's unlikely that the Republicans will ever get 60 votes so that they could completely, eliminate it. So if they can get it through while they have these 60 votes, and they're only going to have those 60 votes up until November of this year, they will do just about whatever they have to get that done. And it's just all because of that 60-vote majority, or 60 votes that they have, that gives them the amount of votes they need to overcome the veto kind of the parliamentary procedures in the Senate that would allow the Republicans to stop it. If the Republicans can't stop it, they're just going to go right ahead.
You know, Rusty, the U.S. government has inserted themselves into the economy in a major way over the last 18 months, almost since you and I started talking about trends and you started becoming a frequent guest on this program. And it seems like they're continuing to expand their reach into the private sector. Do you think this bill will actually help in any possible way? Or do you think it's going to be a death blow to our economy?
Well, I guess you could say, well, there are always some people who will be helped. People who previously would not be able to gain access to insurance, maybe have access to insurance. Poor people who otherwise would have suffered and been, run over by the system, they'll now have some percentage of them at least may have some access to the system that they wouldn't have had otherwise, and that's a good thing, I suppose. But at what cost? And there's probably better ways of doing that, we're coming out with a bill. Well, we certainly don't even know what that bill will look like. It's all being held in secret negotiations, and the Democratic process seems to be coming undone because of that majority that the Democrats have right now. They don't have to be out in the public with it, and so they're just going to do what they need to do, and it'll probably be a big mess. It'll probably be a very big mess, and the financial aspect of funding it is going to be left to be resolved at a later date. Then they just need to get the skeleton of this bill through and the infrastructure of the government control of the health care through so that they can play with it at later dates as time moves on. And it will be a negative overall for the economy, for sure. Businessmen like myself are, we're left here scratching our heads, not knowing exactly what is going to come out of this legislation, and therefore that uncertainty. Whenever you have uncertainty, you have people unwilling to take risk and to invest in the future, and that's, I think, the biggest impact you're going to see on the economy.
Well, Rusty, my position is we're already spending money we don't have. We're a debtor nation. We're having to borrow. We don't live within our means, and this is only going to add more to it. It doesn't make any sense at all. I see no way that we can actually pay for it. Even though I understand the sentiment of helping people who don't have insurance, it seems like there's got to be a more common sense way to accomplish that.
Well, just to put forward the line of reasoning that the Democrats say is that this actually will cut the deficit. Now, you and I don't believe that for a moment, but the official statistics that they are cranking out of Washington claim that this will actually reduce spending, not increase spending. Now, again, you and I would never believe that. Most Americans don't believe that at this stage of the game. We all know what has typically happened in situations like this and how the liar, the figures lie, liars figure kind of situation is involved there. So, yeah, it's going to be a big economic problem. You're absolutely right. Even without this, if we just said, let's table the whole thing for the moment, we have huge spending problems outside of healthcare, let alone any additional spending problems that healthcare brings to bear as well.
It's almost like a family that's upside down. They're upside down on their mortgage. They're upside down on their car payments. They're upside down on their credit card bills. And they say, you know what would really solve this? Why don't we go buy a second home?
Right.
It would feel good for a while. Certainly it'd give us some alternatives, a place to go get a little help or relaxation. But you're just adding to your financial misery.
Yeah, that is true, and it's a very good analogy. But I would just say that for the moment, there's still a chance to rescue this situation if we had some common sense suddenly appear on the scene, but that doesn't seem likely. But there is going to be a couple of years where we'll be able to, couple, three, maybe five, who knows, it's hard to say. It depends on a lot of different factors, where you'll be able to skate by without facing the firing squad. But at some point, that firing squad is going to show up at the door of one of those two houses you have and going to demand repayment, and it's not going to work too well.
Rusty, I know that we're also looking at new legislation in 2010 called cap and trade. Can you simplify what that means and explain it in layman terms? What is a cap and trade bill?
I don't think I can, but I'll give it a shot. Basically, they're trying to cap emissions. The cap stands for capping greenhouse gas emissions into the atmosphere and trading what remains. So they're saying we're not going to add any new emissions to the atmosphere, and then we're going to have a system in place where people who have factories that have to increase their emissions can buy credits from somebody who's able to reduce their emissions, and by putting this economic marketplace force in there, they hope to provide an economic incentive to reduce emissions over time. And it's obviously a costly thing for business and not necessarily the way we want to go. I don't think it's the best solution to the problem, and it's definitely got economic implications that are particularly onerous for the developed countries like the United States and Europe and Japan, and more helpful for the developing countries. And that's the crux of the matter. I don't think, actually, however, as we look out in 2010, I think this will be talked about again, but I really suspect that they will not be able to get this legislation passed.
Well, Rusty, I certainly hope not, because I don't think we can afford any more expensive legislation. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Rusty Leonard, CEO of Stewardship Partners, about his outlook for the economy in 2010 and how it will impact you. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Handling money God's way can be filled with challenges, and many questions can come up along the way. Wouldn't you like to have someone you can turn to when you're not sure what to do next? Well, you do. A Money Map coach from Crown Financial Ministries. Money Map coaches work one-on-one with you to develop a spending plan, get out of debt, and practically apply other biblical principles of stewardship to your everyday finances. Your coach will be with you each step of the way to help you make healthy, long-term improvements in your finances. Money Map coaching is available in person in many areas and everywhere online. Either way, you'll get personal attention that's confidential and free. To find out what's offered in your area or to become a Money Map coach yourself, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org. Get connected with a Crown Money Map coach today. Call 1-800-722-1976 or go to crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Rusty Leonard, the CEO of Stewardship Partners Investment Council. Rusty, we've got these looming problems with massive spending increases through these two bills alone, the cap and trade legislation as well as the health care reform. But we're also looking at more deficits in 2010. Do you think there's going to be any end in sight to the amount of money this government's willing to spend?
I believe there will be, because the marketplace will demand it at some point in time, and the bills will come due, and the investors will wake up and refuse to buy the bonds. And so as those things start to approach, and there'll be warning signs, there'll be great panic in amongst the elected leaders, and they'll realize they finally have to face reality. So I do think that will happen. I don't think it's going to happen in 2010, though. It's going to be another year of adding massive amounts to our overall national debt, and there's really no prospect for that to change. That is a guarantee for this year. So you'll be hearing all kinds of ugly numbers as we go through the year. And one of the reasons that there's no prospect for that to change is that there's an election in November, and the Democrats are going to do everything they can to get the job situation improving prior to the election so that they don't lose as many seats as they're likely to lose at this moment.
Well, Rusty, I know that one of my major concerns is on the issue of inflation. At some point when the cost of money kicks up and we start having to pay higher interest on the massive amount of debt that we're incurring, that it's going to be a difficult situation to navigate through. Do you think we're going to see inflation kick in 2010?
It's unlikely. likely that we're going to see a real big inflation problem in 2010. You may have a small inflation problem, but my guess is you might not even have much of that. The economy is still oversupplied. There's too much of everything. Usually inflation kicks in when factories are operating near capacity, and they're not even close to that. And so there's not some of the standard reasons, at least in the short term, for inflation to become a problem this year. It's still possible because of all the stimulus and all the monetization of the debt that you could get inflation from kind of those financial operations. But my best guess is that you will see signs of inflation, and it will come in certain areas. My best guess is that anything that the developing countries are buying will likely inflate in price. So oil and commodities generally that they're buying to fund the growth of their countries, which are still growing quite rapidly, will probably inflate in price because there's a big demand. But anything that those developing countries are selling will probably still have inflation under control because they have an awful lot of supply of the goods and products that they're putting onto the marketplace, the global marketplace, so that you really won't see, you know, the supply will outstrip the demand and price pressures on those goods will not be that high.
Well, Rusty, another big factor for 2010 is the housing market. What's your outlook for housing in terms of new housing starts?
Well, new housing starts will probably be flattish to slightly up. First of all, in making any of these predictions, this is a very difficult year to make it, make any prediction of any sort. So let me just lay that out for people because there's so many ways in which the economy can go. Last year when we were talking, it was pretty clear that we were near a bottom and there's only one way to go up. Now we've kind of made our initial recovery and there's a whole lot of factors that are playing in here. So my base case would be that the housing market be flat to slightly up. One of the reasons why I don't think it'll be any kind of boom, return to a boom there, even though there's incentives out there for buyers, is because I think interest rates will probably start to tick up a bit, and that means mortgage rates will go up, making it a little bit less affordable for people to buy a home. Furthermore, people are just not going to be able to get a mortgage from the banking system because the banking system is still weakened, so it's not going to be as easy to get that. And then finally, people are going to be finally listening to the advice that you and Crown has been given for years, and they're going to be trying to save a little bit more rather than spend as fast as they can just because they've finally come to the realization that they couldn't go on their profligate ways as they did in the past.
Yeah, I definitely hope you're correct on that prediction. Overall, the markets increased in 2009. They were up some, certainly not to where they were before they started this historic decline. But do you think the market recovery is going to continue?
It's very difficult to say that from this point. It could go either way, and it could go both ways. My base case right now would be that early in the year, when corporate earnings are recovering very strongly and interest rates are probably still in a reasonable place, that the market could have some upside and maybe even some significant upside. We're at close of the year at about 11.15 or so. We're already a little bit above that, and some people, including myself, think you could go above 1,200. This is on the S&P, not on the Dow. 1,200, maybe even as high as 1,300 under the best possible circumstances if that were to come about. But on the other hand, the good scenario that we have going on right now for the stock market, it could be interrupted by a surprise that interest rates rise faster than anybody's expecting, a surprise in a geopolitical event like an attack on Iran and oil prices going through the moon. There are lots and lots of vulnerabilities to this economy right now, and any time you have a weak balance sheet like we do as a nation, the vulnerabilities are all that much more. So we need to be very, very careful and you don't want to be super aggressive in 2010 on the stock market front because there are many vulnerabilities and many things that could happen that would undermine what otherwise will probably be a kind of a gradual improvement scenario.
Well, that weak balance sheet of the U.S. government is what is causing me to have a sense of urgency to encourage our listeners to use this new year, 2010, as the year that they get their financial house in order. What do folks need to do to financially prepare for the challenges ahead?
Don't consume. Try not to buy stuff. As much as you've been trained mentally by the commercials and everything else in our consumer society to go out and buy, don't do it. Just put your foot down and say, no, I'm going to save. I'm going to pay down. If you have debt, pay that debt down. And I'm talking even about your mortgage. Anybody who has any debt is at risk in a disaster scenario should one unfold at some point in time. If the economy was to go back into a recession or a depression mindset, you do not want to be in debt. And so those are the things to, get, as you say, get your financial house in order, do everything you can to be moving in that direction and making progress, and just say no to yourself when you want to buy that new car or that new whatever that you probably really don't need.
Well, Rusty Leonard, always a pleasure to have you on our program. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule to come by today.
And it's always a pleasure to be with you too, Chuck.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Moms these days are busier than ever, working hard, taking care of things at home, making sure your children get to all the places they need to go. Often the only downtime is waiting to pick up a child from school or practice. Did you know that while you're sitting in your car, you could be taking care of your family's finances? You can with Crown Envelopes, the online and mobile money management solution from Crown Financial Ministries. It's the anytime, anywhere way to manage your money and eliminate debt. With Crown Envelopes, you can use your laptop or cell phone to easily and securely access your budget and actually plan before you spend. There's even a free trial. Find out more about Crown Envelopes by logging on to crown.org. Don't let your busy schedule keep you from managing your money wisely. Look for a free trial of Crown Envelopes at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and I hope that that interview with Rusty Leonard gives you a balanced perspective on what to expect in the economy in 2010. A lot of uncertainty. It looks like it's going to be a bumpy ride. And as the Bible says, no man knows the future. We simply want to give you our outlook and our perspective. Speaking of which, I'm going to talk about this topic again next week. I'm going to do an entire broadcast taken from my newsletter article in the Money Matters newsletter on my top five trends for 2010. I do that every January, and it will give you my personal perspective on what I think we need to be prepared for. By the way, if you don't receive our Money Matters newsletter, we publish a monthly newsletter called Money Matters, and you can subscribe to that for free. It comes out in print, or you can subscribe to receive the electronic version online. Just go to crown.org and click on newsletters, and right there you'll be able to see our archives of past newsletters and also subscribe to how you would like to receive our Money Matters newsletter. Well, I want to invite you to an upcoming event that I'm personally excited about. I'm getting out from behind the microphone and going on the road. We're putting together what's called the God Provides Film Learning Experience Tour. We're going to be in Atlanta on Thursday, February the 11th, hosted by Hebron Baptist Church, and in Chattanooga the next Thursday, February the 18th at Ridgedale Baptist Church. Both of these events start at 7 p.m. and will go till 8:30 p.m. There's no charge to attend, but we do want to know who's coming, so I'd like to invite you to go to crown.org/register, sign up, get directions and other important information about the events. The idea is to introduce you to the God Provides Film Learning Experience. We're going to show two short films, one called Abraham and Isaac and the other The Widow and the Oil, and then I'll be there in person doing the teaching. It's family friendly. I do encourage you to bring your children. I think they'll engage with these stories. It will help them understand the scripture, and it will encourage everyone to truly see during these times that God is our faithful and trustworthy provider, and the scripture will come alive. I think it's an evening you don't want to miss, and I hope you'll be there. And if you come as a result of listening to Money Life, please come up and introduce yourself. I personally want to meet you. Well, today as we close the program, I want to leave you with a few final thoughts that I think are so relevant for where many of us are right now. This is a hard time for business owners. It's a hard time for employees who are concerned about their company's viability. It's a hard time for folks who are facing foreclosure. Habakkuk 3 speaks to how to get through hard times with the right attitude. Starting in verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Well, great being with you today. You've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.